really been a privilege to work with Brother Ralston again and to be with him and his family. And I think that Brother Ralston would concur with me. I often, at least since I've been here this week and even in previous weeks, ponder the great men of God through the years that have stood behind this sacred desk. And I feel very humbled to have such a part, even with such great men of God among us, and I feel to be the least. But I think even back in bygone days, Brother Sheffy, if you're from this area, you're familiar with Robert Sayer Sheffy, the old circuit riding preacher. Several years ago, when our girls were small, we found Brother Sheffy's grave not far from here, and we put flowers on his grave. And I have an odd hobby. I like to find the cemeteries that have the graves of great men of God. And so we've also been to Princeton Cemetery in Princeton, New Jersey. And that's where Jonathan Edwards is buried. Just a few graves away is Aaron Burr, who was his grandson. And we've also visited Francis Asbury's grave. He is buried in the Mount Olivet Cemetery in Baltimore, Maryland, overlooking the city. And, of course, Robert Strawbridge is buried there as well, early leaders in the Methodist Church in America. And then we've been to First Old South Presbyterian Church in Newburyport, Massachusetts. It's an old church that dates back to the colonial era. And George Whitfield is buried in the basement. The bell in the belfry of that church was cast by Paul Revere and his sons. They were coopersmiths. The Patriots actually met in that church in the earliest days of the American Revolution. While we were there, there was an elderly gentleman who was taking us, Brother Miller, on a tour of this building. We were upstairs on the balcony. This place probably seats 2,000. I think at the time their membership was about 30. And he's looking in this, and he finally finds this junk pile, and he pulls out this huge original bill of sale from when the church purchased the bell in the belfry that had been cast by Paul Revere. And on this original bill of sale is Paul Revere's signature. He shows it to us, puts it back in the clutter pile, and we turn and walk off. There's been one or two times in my life that I felt temptation. But I did not yield. In the basement of that church is where George Whitfield is buried. Northampton, Massachusetts is a bridge cemetery, as it's called. Out there is a long little platform, if you will, from the olden days, flat on the ground. And I have a picture, Brother Ralston, of my daughters sitting and playing on the grave of David Brainerd, that great missionary to the North American Indians, who John Wesley said to his preachers, if you ever feel discouraged in the way, read the biography of David Brainerd. Strange that as my girls played there, I never dreamed the day would come that one of them would be a missionary to a far land. John Wesley's grave there in London, England. Adam Clark is buried there as well. Wesley Chapel, been there across the street, Bunhill Fields. John Bunyan's buried there. His crypt is above ground. Susanna Wesley, a lot of others. The simple fact is, a lot of people have sacrificed a lot for us to be here today. Let's don't take it lightly. And I say especially to you young folks, if you only realized what it's taken to get us where we are today. And I especially want to say, I'm a little off track here, but I want to say thank you to all of our elders. I have been in places where I was somewhere one time when the preacher basically said, if you old folks would get out of our way, we'll do what we want to do. And I wanted to go around to every elder in that building, shake their hand and say thank you. Had it not been for you, I wouldn't have a place to preach today. So I say to our elders, Thank you. And God bless you. That's right. I say thank you and God bless you. And I mean that. And I look at dear Sister Sly here in the aisle, and feeble, but she still, it wasn't that precious last night when she was raising her hands and worshiping the Lord. Anyway, so much, I guess, thank you so very much, and you've treated us so well. We love you all so very much. Please continue to pray for us. Our daughter will be back across the water the 23rd, is that correct, of this month. And, of course, Sister Hudson and I are working in Myanmar. We'll be leaving Thanksgiving Day, heading back over there. And we are hoping, with the help of the Lord, to, in a few years, possibly start a Bible school. So please continue to remember us in prayer. All right, let's stand, if you would, for the reading of the Word. And I'd like for you to turn with me, please, to Psalms chapter 126. Psalms 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Job chapter 42 and verse number 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he had prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Now, as you're still standing there, we're getting ready to pray. Obviously, these scriptures ring a bell in some of your ears. Sunday morning, I read from these scriptures, exact scriptures. Tuesday, I came again and read from these exact scriptures. And today I feel to end my portion of this meeting with these scriptures. Sunday morning I preach to you when dreams come true. Tuesday morning I preach to you when dreams come true. And this morning I want to preach to you when dreams come true. Would you raise your hand, Father? We only know the words that you've spoken to us. Our little part in this meeting will soon be over. We thank you for everything, Lord, that you have done. And we ask that you would finish the work that you have to do in this congregation this morning, today, and tonight. And we will forever give you the praise, because you and you alone are worthy of our praise and worthy of our honor. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Thank you. You might be seated. Now, I'm not going to reiterate everything. I'm not going to take all the time, the details that I did last Sunday morning. I certainly am not going to go into the details that I did Tuesday morning. But simply for the fact of those who were not here Sunday morning, maybe who were not here Tuesday morning, I will just very briefly try to, as succinctly as possible, review some of the things that I said. I mentioned to you, those of you who were here, remember, I mentioned to you how that the last 2.5 years have been some of the most difficult of my life. I referenced how that for 2.5 years I seemed to be in a spiritual void and fog. Many times I did not even know if I was saved, let alone called to preach. I told you of stepping in the pulpit more than one time and watching as God moved and helped others and feeling so empty inside. I also got a little more detailed and spoke to you of how that things didn't get any better. They only got worse. And it seemed as if I couldn't find God anywhere. And so time goes on, and it seemed like the more I pray, the less of God I feel. Time continues to go on, and from there I referenced how that it seemed even financially. My wife and I are doing our best to prepare ourselves for a work overseas, and it was affecting us financially, and seemed that no end in sight of a spiral that we were going down. And yet it was all for the sake of the Lord. Nothing made sense. I also told you how that my health was affected earlier this year, a few months ago, when I was in the ER thinking I was having a heart attack, so weak that I couldn't hardly go. And how that just trying to get up and preach to a congregation was a monumental task. And I found myself dreading to go to church because I knew you were expecting me to have a word from God, and I couldn't find God anywhere. I said to you that my physical condition got worse after a gamut of tests. The doctors, everything's okay, we can find nothing wrong. And yet I was continually saying to my wife, something is wrong with me and I don't know what it is. I told you my wife's concerned, how she came to me more times than one, said, I'm worried about you. And I said, I'm worried about myself. The only thing I can get, Brother Miller, when praying is God said, I got you where I want you. All right? And so I got so transparent with you Tuesday that I walked out of this church troubled because I felt like I had opened my heart a little too much and said a little too much about me in my situation. I even referenced how back in May, after I was so sick, there was a little just friction between my wife and I that hadn't been there before, but it troubled me and it troubled her. And I told those things, and some of you looked at me so very strange, so very strange. One preacher told me after the service Tuesday, he said, Brother Tim, I have heard of politicians putting their political lives on the line, but I believe this morning you put your ministry on the line. I had another preacher tell me as much. When you were preaching, I felt as if you were committing suicide in the pulpit. Two things kept me going. Number one, I knew the Lord had spoken to me to speak to you. Secondly, when I got through Sunday morning and Tuesday, the preachers, the men of God from this congregation that walked up to me, Brother Dave Miller, with tears in their eyes, saying, that's exactly where I'm at right now. When men of God and when laity, a sister told my wife, he preached me down the list. Everything he said was me. And I found lay members weeping and sobbing. And I remember Tuesday, I don't know if he's here, I don't know who he is, but I remember Brother Ralston, I'm assuming he was a preacher, laying on the altar, His shoulders were heaving uncontrollably, sobbing and weeping. Why? Why? Be sober. Be vigilant. For your adversary has a rock. We know that. We know that, don't we? Knowing this, the Bible says, and goes on to say, the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren throughout the world. Listen, the same devil that's after you is after me. The same devil that's after me is after you, and none of us are immune to the attacks of the wicked one. And sometime I have heard it said, if you are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, you don't have those problems. Is there anybody here that would be honest and say, I know I'm saved. I know I've been sanctified. I thank God for the Holy Ghost and fire, but I've had problems. Are you hearing me? The reason you have things in this book is to remind you that every one of us are still human. Do you understand me? The things in this book are to remind us all that every one of us are human, but to remind us that there is still a God in heaven who is able to give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can the church say amen? I feel the Holy Ghost. I told you, it was like a dream. I was so weak physically. 10 minutes, I'm holding on to the platform. I remember Brother Austin pondering, will I ever have strength again? Is this my lot in life? Am I destined that I can barely go? And suddenly, the dream of being free, the dream of a day that I would have strength again, the day that I would be anointed again with a fresh oil, was like an elusive dream. I told you, I had several preachers tell me, I knew something was wrong with you. I didn't know what to say. I said, well, what do I say? I don't even know where I'm at. How do I describe it? You newcomers are looking at me just like they did Tuesday and Sunday. You are. I was in Myanmar, Burma, on the other side of the world. June of last year, Brother Dave Miller. So distraught. When I heard a voice whisper in my ear, and this is what he said, I have done unto you as I did unto Job. I have given you into the hand of the wicked one to test you and to try you. I only would not let him have your life. Nothing changed. Nothing changed. But suddenly a flicker of hope began to emerge. Brother Dwayne Allen, suddenly the last 2.5 years made sense. All of it did. Are you going to help me preach to you? It all began to make sense. Like never before. Listen to me, my friend, and hear me. Yes, God can and will. But there are times. Are you hearing me right now? I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings. You can pray. You can fast. You can plead. And you can beg. But God told the children of Israel, you're going to Babylon. And you're not coming back for 70 years. You can fast. You can pray. We don't like it. You can complain. You are not coming back for 70 years. Are you going to help me right now? There are some time, pray if you will, and we do, and we believe. But sometimes there is an appointed time. But you see, the second half of that, when God says 70 years and you're not coming back, but it also means at 70 years you are coming back. Oh, somebody help me right now. And so God says you're going for 70 years, but at the end of 70 years, I'm going to turn your captivity and you're coming out and nobody is going to stop it. I feel the Holy Ghost. I said I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm going to shout. We're on to Virginia. I'm hurrying. Preaching the meeting there for Brother Strickler. Third day into the meeting, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. Praying at the hotel that day, wondering, God, how can I make three straight weeks? And Brother Dave Miller, I will tell you as I told him, I cannot tell you what happened, but the only thing I know is the Lord stepped in that room and spoke to me, and the interpretation was, I am turning your captivity and I'm bringing you out. I felt like a cloud lifted over me. I felt like a chain fell off of me. And I felt strength coming in my body. It has not left me since that day. And sometimes I can't even hardly sit down. Shut up. Are you helping me right now? Are you going to help me? It might not mean a thing to you. Hallelujah. But I know when the Lord turned my captivity. Amen. And I'm here to tell somebody today, just as the Lord turned mine, He is going to turn yours. You hear me? Amen. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is going to come in the morning. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost right now. And I have come here to tell somebody by the word of the Lord. Yes, God is going to turn it around. And God is going to turn your captivity. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody say thank you, Lord. Glory to God. I believe you, Lord. I believe you. Now, bear with me just a little bit. Because after I preached Brother Clay Tuesday, and if you're interested, and some of you probably are now, what did he say Tuesday? Don't go look for the tape. Brother Jerry Turner, go look for the CD. All right? I feel the Holy Ghost in this building. I do. After I got through preaching Tuesday, troubled, Brother Rick Simpson came right behind and was crying and opened his heart, Brother Mark, and said, my wife and I have been battling this, feelings. Spellbound. Preachers aren't supposed to feel like this. And then we come in here yesterday, and somebody said, I have never seen Brother Dave Miller so open and broken yesterday as he unknowingly pulled back the coat and said, yeah, me too. Me too. Several years ago, I had a man, an elder man, who had served in war, a combat veteran. He sat in my office, and through a strange turn of events, he began to open up to me about things that he did during the war that haunt him to this day. And he said, I was an animal, but they turned me into an animal by what they did. He sat there by the clay and wept and cried as I listened. And the Lord directed my attention, Brother Austin, to a scripture. This man at the time was not saved. And I showed the scripture to him, and he said, I never saw that. I never saw that. I said, yeah, there it is. He looked at me. He said, I've never shared this with anybody. Please don't ever tell it. I said, it'll go to the grave with me. He said, I've not even told my wife what I've done in the war. I said, it will go to the grave. I only regret that you had to be put in a situation to do the things that you had to do. Be careful with our veterans. They carry a lot of scars. But I said to him, I said, I'll tell you something else. I will tell you something else. You're saved, godly man, but every time you walk in the church, the devil torments the life out of you, saying, if these people only knew what you did, not a one of them would have an ounce of confidence in you. His shoulders bent, sir. I looked at him, patted him on the shoulder. I said, if it means anything, brother, I want you to know I have got utmost confidence in you. And furthermore, the next time you're in service and the devil says to you, if these people knew what you had done, they'd have no confidence in you. You tell that devil, Brother Tim Hudson knows, and he's got confidence in me. And if that means anything, somebody's got confidence. I'm here to tell you today, my friend, I'm not talking about sin and doing wrong, but the devil will torment the life out of you for the struggles that he's responsible for. But I almost feel like I could say, help me right here. Amen. Help me right here, Pastor. There have been men of God that have wept. There have been saints of God that have wept around these altars. Oh, are we going to throw them out, kick them out? Or can we look at them today and say, I got confidence in you?
Right. Absolutely. We've got confidence in you. The sin is under the blood. Hallelujah. And there is no more evil can be attested to.
Exactly. And the struggles that you are having, Brother Randy Webb, will you help me right now? Have you ever felt down and out? Come on, I know you have. And the devil said, it's over. But you trusted God. Nobody's got confidence in you. Nobody. Amen. But here are men and women today. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost in this building. I said, but here are men and women today that are sitting there and they just need somebody to tell them, hey, man, I got confidence in you. I'm not covering up sin. We're not talking about that. The devil been on you. I want you to know I still love you. I got confidence in you. Hold on, man. Hold on, woman. God's going to come by for you after a while. God's going to turn it around. I said in a little while, it's all going to be different.
Right. Yes, we've got confidence in you.
Tell him again.
We've got confidence in you.
Brother Austin, would you feel like standing, you worked in Courage Ministers, would you tell them?
Yeah, we have confidence in you.
Did you hear that, brother? We got confidence in you. Sister Beth, there's some ladies here. They're wondering, would you just tell them?
We have confidence in you.
Put a little more punch in there.
We have confidence in you.
Tell them, Sister Hudson. Come on, Sister Hudson. I don't know. I'm feeling the Lord in all this myself.
We have confidence in you. The Lord is our God. He is our victor.
I'm looking for the first lady. I guess she must be somewhere else. I'm looking for your wife. I don't see her. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? No, we're not talking about sin. We're talking the struggle that you're in when the devil has told you you backslid. You know you have it. And the devil said this and that. And you know good and well. Amen. The devil said nobody's got confidence in you. I want you to remember the next time you hear that, you tell him Brother Tim Hudson does. You tell him Brother Philip Horton does. Brother Randy Webb does. You tell them that Brother Ryan Rawson does. Amen. You tell them, Sister Beth, oh, come on now. No, we're nothing. Amen. But we're in this together. I said, and we want to see God bring you out. And we want to see God turn it around for you. And I'm here to tell you today, your dream is going to come true. God is going to turn it around. I said, God is going to turn it around. Well, who are you? Nothing. Come on, preacher.
This should have been my answer. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him.
Somebody say, praise the Lord. I wish somebody just holler, amen, devil, you've been lying to me. You've been lying to me. I am still saved. Amen. God is still for me. The church is still for me. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. If you listen to the devil, he'll tell you everybody's against you. Amen. No, we're not. We're for you. I said we're for you. And better than that, God's for you. I said the Lord is for you. When the Lord turned to captivity, we were like they that dreamed. But sorry, 70 years are finished. After 2.5 horrible years, Brother Tim Simmons in Staunton, Virginia, God spoke to me. And here's what he said. He said, the devil had his chance. It's my turn now. The devil had his chance. It's my turn now. And not only am I going to turn your captivity, I'm going to bless you in ways that you never knew. Now you hear me, friend. You hear me. It cost Job a lot. Amen. But had Job not suffered what he did, he'd have never had an encounter with God where he spoke directly to God. Are you hearing me? I said, are you hearing me? Amen. But I like what Job said. Yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And when I'm tried, I shall come forth as pure gold. Listen, my friend, if you hold on, amen, you're going to have an encounter with God like never before. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Job. Whereas the day had come that Job had been derided and made fun of and mocked. Now the day has come that when Job walks down the road, somebody says, is that him? That's the man that talked to God.
Yes. Yes.
That's him. I feel the Holy Ghost right here. If you let God do his perfect work, there will come a day that people will stand back in respect of what God has done for you. Now, I'm going to lose you right here. Brother Austin, I see you flipping. Anytime you feel to read, you come on and you read. You got one? You're standing there. All right. Just do your finger whenever. Come on out here. Are you listening to me? I'm fixing to lose you here. Ever since, Brother Mark, the Lord come to me in that hotel room. But Jeff, I feel my shoulders squared back a little more. I feel my steps a firm feeling that I didn't feel before. You know why? Because he tried me. And the devil didn't get me. I guess it's kind of a childhood fantasy. But I'm intrigued by our special op forces, Delta, which is the Army's version of SEAL Team 6. Most elite fighters in the world. If you don't know it, just ask them. Not supposed to tell you, but you ever studied the training those guys go through? They don't call it Hell Week for the Navy SEALs for nothing when they drive them at least 5 days straight with only 4 hours of sleep in 5 days. Not 4 hours a day, 5 days. They push them till they can't think straight. They push them until it said you can follow them by the blood in the sand of where their feet have been rubbed raw. They're freezing cold and they're in the surf. The waves of their Coronado Island are banging against them. Some of them end up with broken bones. Some of them end up with pneumonia. They're constantly being checked. And they'll bind them with their hands behind their back, tie their feet, and throw them in the swimming pool. And they've got to learn to get down there, pick up their mask, and come up with their feet tied and with their hands tied. It is brutal. It is excruciating. And the whole time that they are pushing those men, those drill instructors, when they're out in the middle of the night and they're suffering from sleep deprivation and they're hallucinating and they're freezing cold and they're hungry, those drill instructors are standing there with a hot warm cup of coffee and a donut saying, "This is stupid, this is ridiculous, this is nonsense. All you got to do is ring the little bell and I'll hand you the cup of coffee and you can eat the donut, go back to your bunk, and we'll ship you out of here, and nobody will ever know that you failed out." You know what they're doing? They're doing everything they can to break them. They're looking to get, they're trying to weed out the weaklings. Amen. Listen to me, preacher. Don't be surprised if God tries you. Amen. I'm telling you, there have been times when I know, amen, God was giving me an opportunity, but I said, "No, Lord, I ain't gonna quit. I may not make it like but I ain't gonna quit." Amen. But I'm telling you, you know who they're looking for? You know who wear the trident of the Navy SEAL? It's the one they couldn't break. The one that said, "Come hell or high water, I ain't a quitting." I'm telling you, if you'll be faithful to God, if you'll be faithful in the trial, God will use you. You want God to use you? You expect. In the Royal Marines, which is the equivalent of our Special Op Forces, or the SAS, Special Air Service, when they sign up, before they take them out to their first exercise, they assign them their gear. Here's your rifle, your helmet, your boots, and here's a little packet. And that packet is a piece of paper and is a pen. And you're to carry this with you at all times. And all you got to do is pull out that paper, fill in your name, sign it,
hand it to any instructor at any point in this, and you're out of here. If you can't take it, and those guys think they can, I've done a little study. It doesn't take long for some of them. They start reaching for that piece of paper. I can't take this. And then sometime there's some of them, they're laying there crying. They broke a leg. And he said, no, I don't want to. I can't. I don't want to. I'll try to hobble on. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? There are times that God puts the paper within your reach. Are you hearing me? He sent me down if I'm out of order. But you know what we're lacking in this hour? We got this wimpy generation that wants everything for nothing. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're ever going to be used of God, you are going to be tested and tried. My daughter will tell you, you stood here. I'm her father. I'm her father, and I'm automatically proud. Was anybody touched by her testimony yesterday? But you don't know the time she sat in her car weeping and crying because of circumstances. And I pulled her aside and talked to her. And I said, honey, listen to me. I told her exactly what I just told you. I said, the Navy SEALs, and I know you'll never be, but they are looking for the best of the best. They'll do everything to make them quit. But the ones they can't make quit, I said, and God will oftentimes try us to make us give up and quit. But when we don't, that's who God's looking for. I can trust that man. I can trust that woman. Put them in any situation. Put them in a circumstance where nobody votes for them. And they'll stand tall and say the will of God means more than anything to me. I preach to you Sunday morning. I preach to you Tuesday. Preaching to you again today when dreams come true. You're here today, and nothing makes sense. Hold on. In a little while. Can I throw this in? This is a side note. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends, when he prayed for the ones who had abused him. Somehow I feel like there's somebody here today. If you would only pray for the one who has done you wrong, your captivity may be turned as well. But I want you to remember something else, too. It's not just that the Lord turned Job's captivity. But if Job hadn't prayed, it almost sounds like his three friends would not have found forgiveness. But so when Job is praying for them, he's not only praying for himself, but he's praying for them. You don't know who you might set free if you would pray for your friends. Time is moving on. I'm getting ready to wind this thing down. Years have come and gone. Years have come and gone. One day, a man is in the field. As he's walking in the field, he begins to ponder life. As he begins to ponder walking through the field and back to the house, he sees a very beautiful woman. And he says, honey, come walk with me. And he says, honey, do you remember that time of testing when God was testing me? We didn't know what was going on. You remember being worried about me? You remember being so concerned? You remember that?
Oh, yes.
Do you remember that time that you got a little upset yourself and you said that thing, you didn't even realize it, but it hurt me?
I didn't mean to.
Yeah, I know. But you see, I was under the load, and I didn't know what was going on, and neither did you. That's why Job's wife said what she didn't know. She was all distraught. But you know what, honey? God brought us out.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory.
God brought us through it.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
you remember those difficult times, you know. But you know one thing, I realize during all that time, you stood by my side. Thanks for hanging in there with me. I know we're supposed to be Job and his wife right now, but y'all bear with us. They're smiling, Brother Ralston. And all of a sudden, as they're smiling and laughing, remembering, all of a sudden they stop. The laughter suddenly turns to sorrow. Tears in the eyes of a mom and a dad as they look at a cemetery where their children are buried. And though God has turned their captivity into just some things, they won't get back. But as they make their way and they're weeping and thinking about their children, all of a sudden, somebody jumps up and comes running over and hugs and says, I love you, Mom. I love you, Daddy. And she says, I know it's hard, but don't worry, Mama, Daddy. God gave you me. Are you going to help me, church? I said, are you going to help me, church? Are you going to help me, church? I feel the Holy Ghost right here. And so they go walking, smiling, laughing. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. Oh, my friend, if you could only see down the road and what God is going to do for you, if you could only realize that not only is God going to turn your captivity, but it is going to be better down the road. And I'm telling you, when you come through that trial and God says, I'm going to bless you, you're going to be blessed. Are you hearing me? When God said you're going to be blessed, you're going to be blessed. Somebody praise the Lord. Somebody worship the Lord. Thank you, honey. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed.
And in my very simplistic way, before I close, do you have another scripture? Come, please. You're looking at me like I look at my students sometimes. Church, will you listen to me? The Lord is saying to you, let me do my work. And at the appointed time, I will. And when I do.
And I believe the Bible gives us the answer for anxiety. I really do. And I believe it's found in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 3. This is where I find myself at times when I'm wearied in mind or wearied in spirit. The Bible said, For consider him. Make Jesus the hero of the story. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Amen. How do you deal with the anxiety in your life? Amen. We consider him. I get my mind on Jesus. And I realize that he was the sinless Son of God, that he lived a pure and a holy and a separated life. But they put him on the cross, and he sacrificed his life. They put him in a borrowed tomb, but he rose on Easter morning. And on my very best day, amen, they're not going to put me on the cross. On my very best day, I can't take the place of the Son of God. But I can look to the Prince of Glory. I can look to the Prince of Peace. I can look to the sinless Son of God and know that he rose with power over death, hell, and the grave. And he said, my peace give I unto you. Not of this world shall give. Amen. I'm going to tell somebody this morning in your mind and in your heart. Amen. Because Jesus rose on Easter morning. Amen. There's power. There's joy. There's peace. There's deliverance. Get your mind off your problem. Get your mind off your situation. Get your mind off how they done you wrong. And look up this morning to the author and the finisher of our faith. Get your mind this morning, amen, on the sinless Son of God. Amen, the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Amen, that rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Your song, your joy, your peace, your redeemer, your justifier, soon coming King of glory. Get your mind on your friend. Get your mind on your song. Get your mind on your praise. I said it'll defeat the devil. The devil is a liar. And Jesus Christ sets you free. And you're a child of God. You're not halfway set free. You're not three quarters of the way set free. But you're set free by the power and the name of Jesus. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I said you're free in your mind. You're free in your spirit. You're free in your soul. You don't have to walk the floor at night. Your mind is covered by the blood of Jesus. I said you're a child of God. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I said somebody shout about the power in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for bringing me to my final point. Oh, I hear you say. Why? Yeah, you have. Somebody said, don't say why. Jesus said, my God, why? But let's go back. I love this. Therefore did my heart rejoice. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. So when all is said and done, the conclusion of this today is this. Rejoice and be glad. And what you ought to do is put your hand up and say as the psalmist, therefore did my heart rejoice. Therefore did my heart rejoice. Oh, come on now, somebody. Therefore did my heart rejoice. I feel like there is victory for you if you would only rejoice. Somebody ought to hit this aisle right now. I said somebody ought to hit this aisle right now and say, therefore did my heart rejoice, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt, come on church, I feel the Holy Ghost in this building.
Go ahead, young lady. I've been watching you the whole time I'm preaching. I wish I could get you to come follow us around some. That little gal been shouting back there. Hallelujah. I wish somebody just look up and say, therefore doth my heart rejoice. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Come on now. I want to hear you say it. Therefore did my heart rejoice. You ought to tell the devil right now. You hear me? I wish you'd tell the devil right now. Devil, you're a liar. You're a liar. God's going to bring me out and I'm going to rejoice. You hear me? God's going to bring me out and I'm going to rejoice. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Amen. Somebody throw up that. I feel like somebody else ought to be in this house right now, worshiping the Lord. Amen. God is going to do it. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. Get your eyes on the Lord.
Come on, church.
You're here today and the devil been tormenting the life out of you. I'd like to see you come out of that pew, get around this altar and throw your hand up and say, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Therefore did my heart rejoice. Therefore did my heart rejoice. Are you hearing me? The devil's lied to you. The devil has lied to you. God's for you. Church is for you. God's going to bring you out. Amen. I'd shout by faith if nothing else. Hallelujah. Where's my favorite piano player? Come on, Brother Mark. Brother Andy, get that organ. Amen. Come on, church. I feel the Holy Ghost right here. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Amen. He got one step ahead of me, led me right into my conclusion there. Ah! Thank you, Brother Austin. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I'm out of here before you get any of my offering, though. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, church. Amen. There's somebody standing around you. The devil been tormenting them. Why don't you lay your hand on them and scream it in their ear? Amen. Therefore did my heart rejoice. For thou wilt not thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Hallelujah. I feel the Lord. I feel the Lord. I feel the Lord. I feel the Lord. Yeah, Jesus is alive. I said Jesus was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He overcame, and we overcome by Him.